And it's an easy transition to talk to our first guest of the day, Professor Jason Mazzoni of the University of Illinois. Professor, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Thanks. How are you doing, John? And yes, you were right. There were six Supreme Court justices originally.
All right. I wish I could say I knew that by heart, but I had looked it up while trying to research the question. I just love the idea. I had no idea also that there were not appellate courts at first, and that didn't come along till 1891 when the Supreme Court was like, look, we are a little overloaded here.
Well, so there were courts, but there were no judges. And so Congress, in the statute you referred to, the Judiciary Act, created these courts, but no circuit court judges. Instead, they were staffed on a temporary basis by Supreme Court justices who had to ride circuit and travel around the country hearing cases in that capacity. They hated it.
Oh, that's fascinating. All right, so let's dive into what we're talking about today. Obviously, pretty momentous news about Stephen Breyer stepping down, Justice Breyer, from the Supreme Court. And, you know, obviously this is a big deal. This doesn't happen all that often. What will Justice Breyer's legacy kind of be known for as we reflect back on his tenure on the court?
So Justice Breyer is the one member of the court who is really interested in data and numbers and what experts think and what the scientific literature says and what will be the effect of deciding the case one way or another, a kind of pragmatist, interest in practical results. He started out as a professor, and he sounds like one even today.
It's interesting. Is he going to be notable for any big opinions he wrote? Did he kind of carve out his own ideological path, or is he known as more of a coalition builder on the court, someone that could, you know, line up with a couple other justices to get some opinions made?
He's certainly known as a coalition builder. He has written some important, significant, memorable majority opinions in the area of abortion, for example, and criminal procedure. He didn't get as many big opinions as he might have because he was always junior to his colleague Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And so as the senior justice when she was in the majority, and he typically joined with her when she was in the majority, she tended to keep the really big ones for herself. And so it's only been, you know, very recently that he has been the sort of more senior and been able to put more of a stamp on the court. Of course, he hasn't left yet.
That's true.
Got some big opinions coming along. So he might be, you know, there might be still more coming from him.
Yeah. Walk us through maybe if you have any idea of the timing of this, because I know he's going to continue to serve the rest of through this session, which the opinions are released in June. So does that mean that we will not have a new Supreme Court justice, at least until we get all the opinions released from the court? Or can we get one confirmed beforehand that doesn't take over till the opinions are released? How does that work?
So we cannot get one confirmed because there's no vacancy until he actually leaves the court, and he's indicated that he won't be doing that until the end of the term, the last day of the term, which will be at some point in June, as you said, when the court hands down its last opinion and the Chief Justice gavels the session closed. But that doesn't mean that there won't be any activity between now and then. The White House will very soon announce who the replacement is going to be. Sort of all of the things will be put in place to move things along very quickly so that somebody is confirmed and ready to go, I think, as soon as Justice Breyer leaves. We have only a kind of a small window because midterm elections are coming up at the end of this year, and the last thing that the White House would want is for the replacement process to be delayed and the Senate to flip and be controlled by Republicans who have proven quite skilled at blocking Supreme Court nominations from Democratic presidents.
Yes, and some people may say, well, they wouldn't do that again in 2023. There'd still be a full 2 years left on President Biden's term. There's no guarantee. They might find some other reason why they would block it, or at least a reason to cover the real reason, perhaps, one could argue.
They've proven very creative. Yes. So I think this is going to be a fast process. The White House has learned its lesson from the past, I think.
A lot of times you have justices being nominated to replace one of a different ideological spectrum. This will not be the case. This is this will leave in place a 6-3 majority for conservative-leaning justices. Does a president then usually, and he's obviously outlined he's going to nominate a black woman, does a president have a little bit more prerogative, or at least does history have behind his side, to replace someone of the ideological spectrum of the justice they're replacing when it's not going to shift the court all that much? I guess what I'm saying is, does President Biden have precedence to... You understand what I'm saying.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that, you know, so first of all, I don't think any president nominates real outliers. And so already we have some sense of sort of the group of people being looked at. I think Biden will nominate somebody who... thinks about legal issues in more or less the same way as Justice Breyer does. I expect that the person will be confirmed because even though it's a slim margin, Democrats do control the Senate, and I imagine there'll be some number of Republicans who will vote in favor of the nominee for exactly the reasons you said.
Yeah, you know what I find interesting? We only got about like 30 or 40 seconds left. I was fascinated. I did not know that Stephen Breyer held a seat that has been colloquially referred to as the, quote, Jewish seat. That there's a thread there from who he replaced and the person before that has been someone of, you know, that worships as a Jew, as a Jewish person.
That's right. I mean, so there, you know, when Biden said, I'm only going to nominate a black woman, some people said, oh, why don't you consider the whole pool? But in fact, there's a kind of long tradition of this, the Jewish seat. And of course, Ronald Reagan had also promised to nominate only a woman. Justice Thomas occupies what has been thought of since Thurgood Marshall as the black seat, if you like. So it's an interesting way of thinking about the composition of the court.
Yeah, for sure. And we shouldn't neglect to mention that President Trump, after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, said he would nominate a woman as well in that really quick process as well. It's been done before, and President Biden has said that again. Professor, we're out of time, but I appreciate you breaking that down for us, okay?
Anytime.
All right, Professor.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Jason Mazzoni of the University of Illinois. Time for the news and plenty more coming up on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association here on WGN.